Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from Philadelphia, USA, Shari Botwin. Shari, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Shari is a licensed clinical social worker and an author. And all of you know I'm very partial to authors. She's an author of a book titled Thriving After Trauma, Stories of Living and Healing. Shari is also a trauma therapist, a media contributor, a podcaster, and a blogger. She's the co-host of the podcast Warrior Women Speak. And her new book, which is being released in January 2024, is titled Stolen Childhoods, The Path Towards Healing and Reclaiming Life in Our Adulthood. So Shari, after such an amazing journey, let me start by asking you about your own journey. Tell me about your journey in brief.
My journey in brief. So I grew up in a very abusive family as a child and through my teens. Wow. I spent my childhood and teens just trying to figure out how to stay alive and trying to figure out what am I going to do with all this, because I don't want to not be here. I want to keep living. I always knew I wanted to grow up and be an adult. Wow. So what happened was I went to college, and originally when I went to school, I thought I was going to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. I figured I would be writing about things that happened to me and other people, but somehow I think I took a psychology class and thought, I think this is where I need to go. So I started working in the field, in the eating disorder and trauma field, as soon as I graduated with my master's in social work. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, once I started working in the field, I realized I better go get some help, and I better start dealing with what happened to me so that I can better manage my feelings and then go out in the world and talk about what shouldn't be happening, what we can do when bad things happen. And things kind of just took off from there. The last 12 years, I've been a mom, in addition to being an author, all these things that you say, podcaster, blah, 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 blah. And I think that's ultimately what really changed my life. Amazing. Was becoming a parent.
Amazing. Amazing. So let's talk about your book, Thriving After Trauma, Stories of Living and Healing. Tell me a little bit about your book.
So I wanted to write the book because I've been working with people who've experienced many different types of traumas, abuse, assault, but also people who've been to war, people who've lost their homes in fires, lost family members suddenly. So this is a compilation of different clients I've worked with through the years and how we all, including myself, have managed to find ways to talk about what happened to us, work through all of the feelings, the shame, the sadness, the rage, and figure out how to place all those feelings so that we can be in the present and live our lives knowing that we're going to be triggered and that we're going to have flashbacks. So when I think of the word thriving after trauma, it's about learning how to live with things that happen to us, not get over it, but learning how to integrate and reframe and use our experiences to continue to heal ourselves and others.
Amazing. And what are the different kind of traumas that you have handled in your book?
In my book, I talk a lot about surviving childhood abuse, domestic violence. There's a lot of stories in the book about people who've been struck with very significant medical illnesses or who have had loved ones that have passed away suddenly. We tried in this book to really include all different types of traumatic experiences because I wanted to show the world what the similarities are, whether you were a child, you were a child who was abused, or you lost a loved one as an adult, the guilt, the sense of responsibility, the feeling hopeless and despair, and not knowing how to deal with the enormity of whatever happened. Mm-hmm. So what I do in the book is I try to talk about the things that we all have in common. And throughout the book, I talk about different coping strategies, different techniques people can use to heal from these experiences.
And you know, when I was preparing to talk to you, I did Google to check what are the top traumas in the world. And of course, I read about you. And it was interesting. What came out was that loss of a spouse is supposed to be the number one trauma in the world. And of course, then there are many, many other traumas. But my next question to you, Shari, is that what goes into moving from surviving after trauma to thriving after trauma?
Yeah. I think we could have an 8-hour conversation on that.
I know.
The key is, at least this is my experience in working with clients, the key is owning it, facing it, speaking it. Many of us spend years trying to avoid the truth. We spend years trying to distract from the grieving process, from the understanding the impact. So in order to move into a life of thriving, we need to be able to figure out how to speak about it, express the feelings, and better understand what it means to us. I think the key to thriving also is finding purpose in our traumas, finding ways to reframe it, figuring out how can I use this awful loss in my life to continue to move ahead and live and also stay connected to other people. So I think those are the, in a nutshell, that would be the important parts.
Interesting. And, you know, I've had conversations with people who've been through different kinds of trauma, but I find that people are now willing to talk about their traumas rather than hide it.
Makes such a big difference.
What is changing, in your opinion, that people are willing to talk about their stories?
Because I think we're starting to talk about it in public. In our country, in 2019, there were documentaries that were being released about survivors of different celebrity figures who had been abused. There was the Bill Cosby trial in 2017 and 18, which I attended both of those trials. There's been more media. And then what happens is when we see a story on air or online about child abuse or loss of a spouse or living in after war, what it does is it gives people permission to speak because they feel like, oh, I'm not the only one. And oh, I shouldn't have to feel ashamed of this, or I shouldn't have to keep this a secret because it wasn't my fault.
Wow. And when, you know, for a lot of young parents, and older parents, what are some of the symptoms to watch out for when they are confronted with trauma?
The things to watch out for really are a shift in someone's personality. When something happens, if you start noticing 4, 6, 8 weeks later that this person that you love is appearing to be shut down, is not sleeping, is having a change in their appetite, is withdrawing from life. The thing with trauma is we all react differently. No one person has the same response. But when you know someone, you know when something's wrong. You can get a feeling. So I think to be able to pay attention to what you notice and to not be afraid to say something to that person about what you're noticing. Because again, often people go through these awful experiences and then they don't say anything. They just sort of act like it didn't happen. But as weeks go by, all those feelings start to become bigger and bigger in their minds and bodies. And that's when you're going to see a change in your loved one.
And, you know, when I was speaking to some other people, they were saying that in India, for example, a lot of abuse happens in a familiar environment, maybe at home. And the older people are not even willing to acknowledge it.
And this is the problem. Yeah, this is the worst part, I think, when, and it's true. The statistics are alarming. 9 out of 10 people will be abused by a parent or a teacher or authority figure that we know. So the statistics are awful. But the thing that happens is people don't want to accept that somebody who's supposed to be in a role of a nurturer, caretaker, authority figure could also be harming someone else, especially children. So even with all the media coverage and this and so much more outreach with abuse and trauma, people in general are still turning their backs. They don't want to have to face it or accept it, because if they realize that someone that they care about might be also doing things that are not okay, then that puts them at risk in their relationship. And they don't want to, they would rather protect the relationship than protect the people who are getting hurt.
You know, I was talking to an individual who is doing a lot of work in this area in Canada. And I was surprised, I should have known, but I was surprised that the trauma, especially sexual abuse, happens to boys as well. And apparently it's a very big problem. I'd love to get your perspective.
It's a much bigger problem than we even know, because the amount of people, the amount of males who actually report abuse is much lower, because when males are abused, the idea that they're not going to be believed, the idea that if they say that their dad or even their mom or somebody abused them, that somehow that's going to affect their sexuality or that people are going to be disgusted by them. And I think too, just culturally, people still picture males in a different role.
Correct.
They look at them as they're supposed to be strong. They're not supposed to cry. They're not supposed to complain. So I think all these different factors, the shame is the biggest factor. There's still so much shame and stigma for men. And I think when people like Tyler Perry, who's a very famous actor, producer here in America, when someone like him says, I was sexually abused as a kid, that really does help, because then there's other men watching and feeling like, oh, okay, well, if he can talk about it and he still has a great career and nobody's is telling him to be quiet, then we can talk about it. But it's in my 20 something years of practicing therapy, I have met about 10 different men who have been abused as children, and what they go through is no different than what I went through or any females. It's no less devastating, and it has a different set of challenges.
And is it, again, I'm not a trained therapist, but is it true that talking is probably what is the biggest or the most important part of therapy?
It's the biggest part. And again, some of what I'm writing about in Stolen Childhoods is all these different strategies we can use to heal, different techniques, EMDR, DBT. What I feel, again, as someone who's been through recovery, is every time we talk about something, about our past, or we acknowledge another piece of our history, we are digesting and healing. So I feel like, and I think that there are people who probably would agree with me, being able to actually find words and talk about as much or as little as we need to over time, that's what ultimately keeps us in the present. And that's what allows us to have a full life, because we are hit with challenges. Life is challenging. We have different things that happen in the present that trigger old experiences. So when COVID happened, survivors were grappling with the isolation and the fear. And even though COVID has nothing to do with child abuse, for a lot of survivors, there were many things that were triggering. If we don't talk about things as they happen, we then go back into reliving and re-experiencing, and then we start to go back into the PTSD.
Well said. So one, of course, we've spoken a lot about the, you know, the abuse as a child, but I'd love to get your perspective on what are the other kinds of traumas that adults go through that they need to watch out for.
So there are adults, there are a lot of adults that I meet that they go through relationships as adults. Domestic violence is a very big problem here in our country. And it's, even though it's happening to someone as an adult, it doesn't, again, make it any less traumatic. So that's something that I see a lot. And I think the other trauma for adults is, again, being diagnosed or dealing with different types of medical issues. I've worked with people who've experienced what I call medical trauma, where they've been stuck in hospitals for months, or they've had a significant illness or some type of injury that completely turns their lives upside down. So any type of experience that changes the course of our life and makes us feel like the life I was living is no longer the life that I'm living. Athletes who are injured and are told they can no longer participate in a sport that also was their passion. And again, also adults who lose loved ones. Recently, where I live, we have lost a couple of moms suddenly, very suddenly, a couple of moms in my community have passed away. And the impact of that trauma on the partners and even just the community and everybody who knows those people or knew those people, it's very scary, because then we all walk around thinking, what if that happens to us? And then the kids start asking us, is that going to happen to you too?
Wow. And the other perspective I wanted to get from you is that while there is legislation in most countries to be able to give recourse to people who've had traumas, how effective is it? And what is the role that society can play?
I think the biggest role society can play is we need to support and advocate for survivors, and we need to be volunteering or offering funding if we're in that position. Mm-hmm. The legislation, I think, is trying to support people who want to seek justice, or it's trying to support people so that people are better protected. Mm-hmm. The problem is that a lot of these different experiences happen behind closed doors, and there's often no proof. So I think one of the most important things that legislation can do is be better educated and more informed. There are people who work in the legal field or in the justice system that still will say things to survivors like, why didn't you say something sooner? There's still a lot of victim shaming, victim blaming. So I really think even just having shows like yours and having people listen to what it's really like and being more informed, that's the most important thing, I think. Legislation is great, but it doesn't really work if they're not educated and understanding the process.
Very interesting. I noticed we've got someone who's joined you. She or he also wants to listen to our conversation.
He's one of our therapy tools in this house. That would be my male cat who likes to go on TV and likes to be seen and heard.
Wonderful, wonderful. But one more question related to trauma, and then I want to move to your podcast and your new book. Based on all your research, Shari, is this something that is common across cultures, across countries, or is it more prevalent in a few cultures?
I think there might be some cultures or countries where it's more prevalent. When we look at the statistics and we look at places that are where people are more vulnerable financially, emotionally, when we look at the human trafficking that's been going on in the world and you look at the statistics, there it's happening everywhere. There are some countries that have it more than others, but I think, again, the statistics aren't necessarily even that accurate because there's a lot of people who never report, or we don't know that they're being trafficked or going through these different types of experiences. So I mean, I'm a very positive person, but I would say that trauma and abuse is still way underreported and way under talked about and not understood. So we can look at the statistics and say, well, they seem accurate, but no one really knows. Once you go behind the closed door, once somebody goes through an experience, if they're not reporting it, then we may never know what is actually happening and how rampant these problems are. But I do believe that most of these issues that we're addressing today are much more of an issue than what we even know.
Correct. And, you know, based on everything that you've said, I'm just going to make a comment to a lot of our viewers and listeners that if you know of someone going through a trauma, there must be a helpline in your country. Reach out to them, but don't ignore it, because whoever you'll help will be grateful to you. So Shari, let's now talk about your podcast, Warrior Women Speak. Tell me a little bit about this.
So I started doing this podcast a couple years ago with my co-host, Judge Rosemary Aquilina. Mm-hmm. I connected with her because she was the judge leading the case against Olympic doctor Larry Nassar, who was accused and found guilty of abusing hundreds of elite athletes and gymnasts. And I was struck by her courtroom because she allowed every single victim that wanted to speak, give a victim impact statement. So the idea that she allowed all these women to share their thoughts and to be able to confront the doctor in the courtroom struck me. So I reached out to her and we decided maybe we should do a podcast. So she's a judge, I'm a lawyer. We have very different backgrounds, but we often talk about similar issues because she sees a lot of people in her courtroom who the reason they become criminals is because of something that happened in their past. Wow. I talk about my work with survivors, victims, and what it's like to be on the other side and how most of the people I work with never go to court. They never report their abusers because they don't want to have to go through what most people go through in court. So each week we talk about different, themes related to trauma, but we also talk about everyday life issues that can really bog us down. And we try and leave listeners with ways to reframe and ways to better manage with things that feel in the moment unmanageable. And we have a lot of fun too. We laugh pretty much every time.
Fantastic. Thank you. My next question is, and I'm not sure if you are permitted to speak about it, but your forthcoming book, which is coming out in January 2024, Stolen Childhoods, The Path Towards Healing and Reclaiming Life in Our Adulthood. Will you be able to tell me a little bit about the hypothesis for the book?
Absolutely. I already started writing that book. I started writing that book in the summer. Okay. This is a book specifically for adults who survive childhood abuse. Mm-hmm. So the point of this book is to really offer people hope and strategies and insight into what's the difference when you go through trauma as a child and how can you begin to heal from things that you've kept secret for 10, 20, 30 years, because most people I meet don't speak about anything bad that happened to them until they get into therapy. So I wanted to write this book because I repressed my abuse until I was an adult. And I could see that the impact of burying all these experiences that I lost, not just my childhood, but I lost years of my adulthood. So this is my way of saying, I don't want this to happen to other people. Here are some things you can do. And like Thriving After Trauma, I talk about clients that I work with. And also I'm offering all different types of ways to begin to face what happened to you and break the silence and move through it without it ruining your life moving forward.
Well said. And Shari, my last question to you, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your amazing understanding of trauma and all the work that you're doing, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away?
The first lesson is that we need to learn how to take the shame and flip it into self-love and self-care.
Yeah.
That's the first lesson. The second lesson is the more we try and avoid our thoughts and feelings about what happened to us, the worse our life will be in the present moving forward. Yeah. That in order to heal, we need to speak and own our experience. Mm-hmm. I think the final lesson I would want to say is when you feel like it's never going to get better and you feel like this is going to be the rest of my life, it's not going to be the rest of your life if you allow yourself to move through your feelings. So even for people who contemplate suicide or feel hopeless or want to go away, what I would want to say to people is, just remember that's a feeling. And even though it's a horrible feeling and you definitely need to ask for help and you should tell somebody, it's not going to last forever. It Correct. Will pass.
Correct. Wonderful. And on that note, and your three amazing lessons, the first one you told us was learn how to take the shame and put it into self-care. The second one you sent was confront your experiences and speak about it. And the third one, which is so powerful, is this too shall pass. Ask for help, but you can never be in a dark space for too long. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you, Shari, for speaking to me about what your amazing personal story. Thank you for speaking to me about your book, Thriving After Trauma, and so many different aspects of trauma. Thank you for speaking to me about your podcast and about your forthcoming book, and good luck with your new book. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world.
Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.